How do you, as far as well, let me establish this foundation first. So evolution is true, things happen naturally, correct? As far as the Okay, awesome. How do you get the mathematically describable reality by blind happen chance?
What was the blind happen chance?
So if things had to happen naturally, that means conditions have to be right for a natural occurrence to occur. Would you agree?
No, what occurs in nature unfolds according to nature's law.
Those,
Th
okay.
things
And
don't
these
happen
conditions have to be.
because nature, well, I was going to say things don't happen because nature lets them happen, but that wouldn't be the proper way to say it. It's as if you're saying the things that happened, nature was set up in order for those things to allow to happen. It's like, no, if nature were different, then different kinds of things would happen.
Yeah, but you're proving my point. So if a conditions is right, if there's a tree that grows human off of it, for that tree to grow, that particular conditions that require a tree growing human to have that end result, those conditions have to be there, right? So whatever natural occurrence that you can conjure up in your brain that occurred naturally, that specific perimeter of conditions have to be there to get the end result of that natural occurrence,
There
right?
is no teleology in nature.
What?
You're insisting that there is, which I think is pretty foolish. And then to call it blind random chance that nature ended up producing humans is like, okay, so do you think the alternative is God?
That's not what I said, right?
I
I'm
know,
trying to
I know you didn't
emphasize.
say that. I'm asking. I'm not telling you, I'm asking you.
But no, I'm asking about this godless world. You seem to be shifting to the god world. But you said
Because
something
there's
that I'm
an
trying to get
instructive point, but
understand more.
whatever. We'll just pick on me for now. Go ahead.
No, I'm seriously trying to get understanding. What do you mean? Explain that to me, and I guess some listeners who may think like me. For something natural to happen, conditions doesn't have to be right. What do you mean?
Because what you're doing is you're taking the end result of something and saying that the way you view it, you view the end result as something that nature deliberately intended to do, a teleology, and that's just not how it
No,
works.
that's not what I'm
If.
saying.
Go ahead.
That is not all what I'm saying. Okay, can I give an example so we both can be on the same page, right? So, would you say that stars form naturally?
Yeah.
Okay. And for that natural end result of a star forming, the conditions have to be right. I mean, mass,
The
gravity, all
conditions
those
just are
metrics.
what they are.
Oh, so
Again,
you're a
you're
determinist.
saying that it has, you're giving a Goldilocks argument for star formation. And so you're doing this teleological approach to nature, and it's odd.
I am not. This has
Yes,
nothing to do
you
with God.
are.
I'm asking.
I didn't say God.
Okay. So when you say that the conditions just are what they are you a determinist?
Yeah.
Okay. So you believe that there was no other options for this thing to be the way it is. It just had to be this way, hence presenting the end result of a thing.
Sure.
What's the argument for that?
That nature is governed by natural law, which is, as far as we can tell, immutable. Like, do you think a comet decides to orbit the sun in a particular way? No, I think it's bound by physics and whatever other governing fundamental forces there are in the universe. Like,
Okay.
are you aware
So
of anything that violates the laws of physics? Because I'm not.
But that's inconsequential to what we're talking about, right?
It's
So there
like
are dead
literally
stars.
the only relevant thing. So to call it inconsequential, I don't know what you meant by
This
that.
is what I mean. All right. Okay, for me, because you know what you're saying, but I'm trying to, and I'm really asking in good faith, believe it or not, right? So in my understanding, because people learn differently, there are dead stars, meaning all the metrics that was not met for that star to be fully formed or whatever, right? But there are stars that were fully formed. So you're saying in your deterministic world, that the fully formed star had to happen by these laws, and the metrics that wasn't fully there had to not fully be there for this half formed star to be the way it is, the end results. So two different end results had to be that way, right? It's not that conditions like if, have to be right.
Yeah, like if there's no water, it won't rain.
If there's no water, it won't rain? What are you talking about? How does that correlate?
It's just, it's the same thing. It, in order for it to rain, there has to be water. And so there is water. So the only way for it to rain was that there was water. Yeah, because that's what rain is. And for a star to form, yeah, if there isn't enough mass, it won't be able to achieve fusion in its core. And so that's right. Just what happens. So based on the preconditions or whatever, it either will or it won't happen. What? It doesn't rain in the desert? What? It does rain in the oceans? What? It's just not super, it's not that deep.
No, I get what you're saying. What I'm trying to lay side by side in a parallel formation or compare, in other words, is that I think most people who exclude God is that when you say something happened naturally, there's a game of chance for this natural where conditions will have to be right. And you're saying that no, chance has nothing to do with it. Conditions being right might be based on conditions, but the conditions were predetermined to either be there fully or be there halfway or not be there at all. Right. Is that the two different standpoint that we're talking about here?
Yeah.
One is by chance. By chance, all the metrics was there for this star to be formed. By chance, all the metrics was not there for this half star to be formed. But you're saying that these two different stars had to happen by some.
Nothing has to happen. Nothing. Things just happen. Again, I think the rain analogy is actually great. In some parts of the world, it rains. In some parts of the world, it doesn't. Now, the people that live in the place where it rains could say, oh, thank God. And the people that live where it doesn't rain could say, why has God forsaken me? Or if they actually understood like how the rain cycle works, they could understand that, oh, well, yeah, it rains here because we're not in a perpetual high pressure area at 30 degrees latitude, or because we're near the coast, or because we don't live in a desert. And for the other people, it would be the opposite, right? There's absolutely no need to invoke any kind of miracle. It's explained by the physical conditions and the, I guess that would sort of be it. It's explained by the conditions that they find themselves in.
Right. Yeah. So those are specific conditions that would or wouldn't produce rain. But when it comes to the creation of this reality, right, where it is what, you know, we call it math in our linguistic way of describing things, right? But it makes sense in other words. But from what I'm gathering, what you're saying, so when I say mathematically describable, I'm talking about we didn't invent science, we discovered science, and we are able to prolong and sustain our life by we get medicine from chemistry, right? Right?
No, I don't agree with that at all.
So we invented science or the functionality
of course
of what
we did.
We call science?
Of course we did.
We invented the functionality of what we call the laws of physics?
No, but that's not science. Science is a series of steps.
Of a functioning thing, right? That functioning thing, what we call the laws of physics, did we invent that functioning thing or we discovered it?
The laws of physics, I think, are discovered. Yeah, but that's not... Science is not the laws of nature. It's what we use to try to understand those types of things.
Right, through our way of... That's how we describe this functioning thing. So the laws of... what we call the functioning thing, what we call the laws of gravity. We can call it ooga da booga, right? We can call it whatever we want to call it. But that functioning thing of what we call the laws of gravity, you're saying that we invented that, we did not discover that.
You're talking about gravity now?
We call it gravity. You can call it...
I think gravity is... I think gravity is basically discovered. Yeah. I don't think science is discovered. But science is a process that we invented in order to do things like discover the underlying fundamental nature of something like gravity.
Right. So the let's because the word science is tripping you up. These functioning thing that makes sense, they're functioning in individualistic capacity. However, there's a unification to them, right? So what we call the laws of physics, what we call the laws of gravity, what we call the laws of thermodynamics, I can go on and on and on. These different independent functioning thing, would you agree that we did not invent them, but we discovered them? That's all I'm trying to establish.
This is like the third time I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, you agreed, but I think you only agreed on the gravity portion. But okay, so my original question when I first came on, how do we get these things that is so, it's not even so much of a fine-tuned argument, but so in where we call it, in our way of expressing things, mathematically describable by what you say is deterministic. So I don't even understand the premises on that. What makes it determined to be mathematically describable?
What makes the universe determined to be mathematically describable?
Yeah, you do agree
so
that we live in
that, that question is awkward. Are you just asking me why does math describe the universe so well, or are you asking me something else?
So, again, I don't want you to get caught up on the word math, right? I'm just trying to see.
I know.
Right? Okay. So the way our reality is, it makes sense in such a way that we call it mathematically describable. Like it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to ask, is either it was blind happen chance, then I would say how it came about, but you're saying it was deterministic. Yeah.
So sure.
How what's the argument?
Yeah. So whether or not God exists, it's still true that nature operates according to these underlying fundamental laws and constants and whatever. And they don't vary. They're fixed. So what we've been able to do over time is because it's non-random, because in many ways it's fixed, in so many ways it's predictable, we were able to establish means to be able to describe it. Like mathematics. Mathematics is just a tool we invent in order, and it's basically, you can think of it almost like a language of reality, because if there are two things, they really do equal four things, but two and four are these abstract concepts that I don't think that numbers really exist, right? A circle, there's a mathematical equation that describes a circle, but I don't think that circles really actually exist somewhere. Nature very closely approximates these sorts of mathematical things. But I think probably the most important part is that the underlying fundamental forces and whatever behind nature, they do relate to each other and they don't vary randomly. So to me, it makes perfect sense that there actually is a way to describe their relationships mathematically, because whatever the units happen to be, that's arbitrary, but the ratios between those units, however we choose to label them, will not be arbitrary, right? Like numbers could be different, but like the ratio of a radius to the circumference of a circle will still always be pi, no matter what numbers you pick, right? So anyways, I don't find it particularly surprising that mathematics does this pretty well. And I don't think that points to God in any sort of way. So the thing about it being deterministic is, yeah, if these constants and values and forces and whatever relate to each other, and they're non-random, then that means in the future, they're going to continue relating to each other in that same kind of way. So it remains describable with that mathematical framework that we have invented. But for me, now hopefully that made sense. For me, there's no need to leap to invoke a God. Because when you say blind random chance, God doesn't fix that, because even if God created it, okay, what are the odds that God created it this way? That's completely unknowable and incalculable. So you're still relying on blind random chance, even if you invoke God.
And I did, well, I disagree a lot of what you, well, I agree with some of what you said, a lot of what you said also.
I'm happy to announce that I can now offer signed copies of both of my books. This is because I've reopened my merch store where you can get your very own Spanky T-shirt and more. If you don't know, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions is a collection of responses to about 100 of the most common anti-scientific tropes. The book is meticulously detailed, it's been fact-checked by real scientists, and it's written in a clear and easy-to-understand way. Evolution, the Big Bang, creationism, flat Earth, all of that plus more is in there. Facts That Aren't True is a collection of over 150 commonly held beliefs that are not true. Each claim has a story behind it. You'll learn the history behind the claim, the science that disproves it or partially supports it in some cases, and lots of side stories and tangents. Categories include the human body, history, religion, animals, nature, language, and a hodgepodge of miscellaneous facts that aren't true. So, if you want to be equipped to handle the misinformation that you see me tackling here every day, get a copy of one or both of those books for yourself. Thank you.
But you spoke about stuff being consistent, right? And it is basically determined to be consistent, something to that effect. I don't want to misquote you.
Yeah, nature,
Right.
the fundamental underlying laws of nature don't randomly fluctuate. The speed of light doesn't randomly change. The strength of like the strong nuclear force and the strength of like bond energies and atoms doesn't randomly fluctuate. No.
Oh, is the sun, according to science, is going to explode in a couple of billion years?
Yes, and we know that because the laws of physics are predictable. It's not it
Right.
the
Is that
sun the sun was not going to explode. Ours isn't. It'll shed its outer layers in a way that's kind of explosive, I guess, but it's not going to like supernova. But anyways, that doesn't represent a change in the laws of physics or anything like that. That represents a predictable evolution in the state of the system. Like when a firework explodes, that's not a violation of the laws of physics because it was doing nothing and then all of a sudden it exploded. No, we can describe scientifically and using the tools of math why it does that.
Right, so you're switching the goalposts. You say energy doesn't change or something to that
I
effect.
know I am not.
You said energy remain consistent.
I actually never said those words, but that is true.
Okay, so like I said, according to science, so the n nature as it pertains to the sun. The whole premise that undergirds your argument is that these things are consistent, why we have to study them, blah, 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 blah. And nature is consistent. Nature, as it pertains to the sun, cannot be consistent because, according to science, diffusion is running out in the sun, like gas in a tank of a car,
Oh,
and in a couple of
God,
billion
why
years,
are
it's
you
going to run
saying
out.
this?
I'm not saying this from
Do you
science.
know that if I throw something in the air, it'll eventually come down?
Yes.
Okay, well, when it
That
hits
is
the ground and stops moving, then the science becomes false, right?
No, it already came down.
You're not getting your own logic here. We know, thanks to science, that stars are going to change because they start to run out of fuel. The system changes. For you to argue that the science changes or breaks down or stops being true because the star is going to evolve into a different state is the equivalent of saying, look, I throw something in the air and I can use Newtonian mechanics and gravity to describe, I know its initial velocity and I know the downward acceleration of gravity, so I know how far it'll go up. And I know how long it'll take to hit the ground. But then that science describes its motion. So when it stops moving, then the science is false once it's like, no, that's not how that works at all.
Okay, I think I found a disconnect. So maybe I misunderstood the terminology when you said science is consist. I'm sorry, nature is consistent and predictable. What do you mean by that? Maybe I misunderstood you.
I mean that the fundamental underlying forces and constants and whatever that undergird matter and energy in this universe are basically fixed.
So there could be no surprises. Again, I'm trying to understand because it's so predictable. In your world, there is no surprises when it comes to nature, right?
I wouldn't say that at all because nature, although nature is dictated by those things, nature is just unbelievably complex. It's like the most complex thing we know about. We don't understand every single relationship that nature has. We discover new relationships with things all the time. Like the thing about stars, we didn't have any ideas about black holes or stellar evolution until we either predicted them with the math or they were witnessed, and then people were like, the fuck was that? And then they did some calculations and we discovered, oh, well, actually, according to our most advanced science, yeah, we now understand why a star would undergo a supernova explosion, for example.
So in that case, it wasn't predictable.
I wouldn't say it wasn't predictable because some of these things we see them happen and we go, huh, but like that's just a limit of our imagination and not understanding the total depths to which our science goes yet. But then when we study these things after they've been observed, we oftentimes understand, oh yeah, the science does explain that. It's just a, like I said, a limit of our ability to imagine things, I suppose.
I'm there. And I agree with every syllable you just said, but I want to let you know that you contradicted yourself. And I'm going to leave after this. You cannot in one breath say that nature is predictable, and then in another breath say that there is something that comes as a shock in this predictable system, right? You can say that we later discovered something and science can explain it in your world, but you can't say that nature is constant and predictable. Those are two different statements that contradict
each other. They're absolutely not. The only way that would make sense is if I also said we are completely omniscient and we know everything that will happen. Saying that things are deterministic is not the same thing as claiming that you know every single thing that will happen in the future.
That's not the very definition of predictable?
No.
So I can predict something is going to happen in the future, but doesn't mean I'm going to know that thing is going to happen in the future.
It depends on what you mean. I mean, like philosophically, we have a problem of induction, but the problem of induction fails its own test, which is a hot take. But no, like you can look at any predictive model. Like, what would be like tomorrow? We can forecast the weather, right? And the weather predictions are like 90 to 95% accurate. But every now and then, because the atmosphere is dynamic and ever moving, there are things that pop out that are like, wait, what? Like a few months ago, there was a dust storm in my county where I live. And like the weather forecast for the entire day was exactly right, but they didn't know that these air masses were going to collide or the pressure was going to drop in such a way that can create this very sudden air mass, right? So I got like a warning text, you know, the EBS or whatever went out and they were able to tell us, yes, there is going to be one that's going to happen. It kind of caught or snuck up on us or whatever. And then whatever. Or like hurricanes. Like, do you agree that hurricanes are going to happen next year?
Do I agree? I think they're likely based on past experiences.
Yeah, it's like virtually certain that hurricanes will happen next year. Okay, but nobody, just like Jesus, nobody knows the day or the hour, right?
I think you're conflating predictability with high likelihood.
You're conflating predictability with certainty.
I am not. What? Yeah,
you,
that's what it means.
You 100% are. Because you said you cannot claim that it's predictable and then be surprised by things. You are totally confusing predictability and certainty. Absolutely, no, that's what happens.
No, I'm not denying it. I'm saying based on what dictionary definition of predictability, right? Something is certain. You're conflating predictability with likelihood. Something could be, the weather could be highly likely that it's going to rain tomorrow, but it couldn't rain. You couldn't say, I'm going to predict next week at 3 o'clock it is going to rain, right? Based on the, it's highly likely to be to rain based on science that we have discovered, but it's not a certainty. You could be shocked that it doesn't rain. Predictability means that you are certain of something's going to happen.
Yeah, we are very certain about the underlying forces of nature, but they interact together in unbelievably complex ways. And so we can't know with certainty exactly everything that's going to happen. I am not caught in any kind of contradiction.
Okay, man. Hey, thank you for your time, brother. I appreciate it. You're an intelligent guy, man.